Man, let's hear it for Rob this morning. I'll tell you, so thankful and blessed. And that guy likes his wife, doesn't he? You know, he likes his wife. He kept talking about her. And I'll tell you, they're wonderful people that love Jesus. And we're excited for all that God has brought to this awesome church. And as Rob said, you know, our campaign, it was this month, a little over a month. And God has done just such a great work. And as we've focused on this study, I'm a church member, and we've talked about what it means to be a church member and answer the question, does church matter? And I hope and pray that after this study, after today, we know that church does matter, that it doesn't save you. It's not a spaceship that takes you to heaven, but having a community of Christians that you're involved with and committed to is very, very important. So the campaign team, which Rob was the director of the campaign, and by the way, didn't they do a good job this campaign? Didn't they just do pretty awesome? And I'm proud of them. And as our life groups will be studying this sermon and the next lesson, they're going to jump right into another study the very next Sunday. They're not going to miss a beat. And so life groups don't end when this is over. They're just going to keep going and keep growing and keep getting bigger, and God's going to do just a great work. And as we conclude the campaign, it's no coincidence we're doing it in connection with our two-year birthday party. We just think that it's exciting for what the Lord is doing. And this very last message of the campaign that we're doing, I think, is coming at just such a timely, it comes just right on time, and it's good. And if you have your sermon notes, I want you to take those out. I want you to get ready. We're going to read from the book of James, chapter 1, from God's holy and inerrant and infallible word today. James 1:17 says this: every generous act and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. With him there is no variation or shadow cast by turning. Look at that first part again. Every generous act, and read this part with me, and every perfect gift is from above. Father, we love you. We thank you for Christ. And we ask you in this moment now just to speak into us, to lead us, and to guide us. And Lord, we praise you for what you've taught us about the local church. And God, and we pray in this moment now that you would do a great work, that you would speak to us today. We pray this in your name. Amen. So here we've talked about, does church matter? And we've discussed that 15% of the millennial generation only knows the Lord. Only 15% of them know the Lord. We've seen churches all across the United States have prominence, and they're dwindling, and some are dying, sadly, and that's not good. But what we do see is that when the body of Christ acts like the way the Bible tells us to, it's not a country club type church where we go to get served. It's so different. We come to unite with each other under our family of Jesus Christ as our Father. We come and unite with each other, and then we serve and we make a difference. That's why we as a church don't have to have a building to be a church. That's why we are a community. And here's the thing. When God leads us to the next phase, when we get a building, whenever that'll be, it doesn't matter where it's at because we're a church. Amen. And the church meets wherever the church chooses to meet. And what we're seeing is that this is a great thing. That church is not, it doesn't save you. We're going to talk about that here in a second. It's not a magic spaceship that takes you to heaven. But it's because we are saved and God's given us that we come together. And as I think about what we just read, that every good and perfect gift is from above, that means every time you get a good gift, it's from God. And you have to acknowledge that. And I really believe life community is a great gift from God. I really believe that. I believe that we've seen this church do great things, and we've only scratched the surface of what God, we've only seen God scratch the surface of what he's doing in this church. But I begin to think about gifts. Every good and perfect gift is from above. So this morning, I wanted to show you something today. I wanted to bring you something. And I would say that in this bag this morning is a plethora of treasure this morning. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I was actually pretty nervous about taking this out of my house today. But what I have in this bag today is everything that's in this bag is a gift of some sort. Let me show you the first one, okay? This is not my gift, but we gave it to Gracie. This is a Ninja Turtle. And you guys are probably thinking I'm like turtle obsessed. Not really, okay? I don't know Not really, but it just kind of looks like that recently, you know. But this is Gracie's Ninja Turtle. We got this for her when we went to Myrtle Beach, and she carries this around. She loves it, absolutely loves it. This morning when I told her that Mike had to help me in my sermon, she did not like that, by the way. And Taryn told me through text message this morning that she drew a picture and carried the picture of Mike around. The only problem with this is that Hopi likes Mike too, okay? So there are fights and divisions over this thing in our house. So I was at a claw machine the other day. I don't really frequent claw machines that much, but I saw this in a claw machine and I thought, oh my goodness, we have to do this. So I found this for Hopi in the claw machine. Not going to tell you how much it took to get it, but I saw it and I thought, well, we need to do this. Only one problem. I give it to Hopi. This is what she does. She drops it and goes right towards the big one, right? You know, so that's just kind of what happens. So A for effort, it didn't work, okay? So that's kind of what happened. So what else do I have in here in my amazing bag of treasure this morning? Some very special stuff. This was my ordination Bible. When I was ordained into the gospel ministry, this was the Bible that was given to me at my ordination. It is very, very precious to me. It was, you can see it there, it was calligraphy in there for when they gave it to me when I was ordained as a pastor. And that's a very precious treasure to me. As you can see, I don't actually use this Bible because it's kind of more of a keepsake for me. But it's very important and precious to me. It is a treasure that I have. Now, there's some other treasures in this as well. When I got married, I gave Taryn a Bible as our gift. I gave her a Bible. She, on the other hand, gives me a collected volume of The Incredible Hulk is what she gives me. And that is no joke. Look, you can see Kenny's wedding day gift from Taryn, October 20th, 2007. So that's the truth, okay? I gave her a Bible. She gives me a collected volume of The Incredible Hulk, okay? So it's very precious to me. That's a very precious thing, too. Now, something a little bit more serious is that Taryn gave this to me on our second Christmas. I believe it was our second. This is, you might not be able to see it, but this is a book stamper. And this is a, you stamp it, and it says from the library of Kenny Rager. And I've always wanted one. And she gave me one. So all of my books at my house have my little R, there it is, my little R Rager symbol on it. And that's special to me, and it's really nice. I've told her many times that's one of my favorite gifts that I've received. My very first church that I was at was in a little church in Greene County, Kentucky. And there was a man there by the name of Dave. And Dave had a lot of different ideas and views on life and been through a lot and struggled a lot. And Dave, we talked one day, and Dave prayed to receive Jesus. And I baptized Dave, and Dave became my friend. And Dave knows the Lord, and he's still serving in that church today. And Dave wanted to get me a gift to say thank you for whatever reason. And this is what Dave got me. It was a Stormtrooper helmet. And this is my Stormtrooper helmet. So whenever I see my Stormtrooper helmet, I think of Dave and what Dave gave me. And just for the record, all you teenage boys that are eyeing this and coveting this right now, don't you dare touch it, okay? So I love you, but you can't touch it this morning, all right? I love you. No trying ons after service, okay? I love you. It ain't going to happen, all right? So I'm just telling you. But that's a little bit of my bag of treasure that I have for you today. And here's what I can tell you about all of this stuff, and looking at it right there in the front row, this is valuable to me. And if you were to put all of that in a yard sale, it would probably be like a quarter a piece, you know, 50 cents a piece, something like that. I mean, nobody would even want it. But to me, I look up there on that front row, and this is valuable stuff to me. It is a treasure to me because of the memories that are associated with it, because of the great things, my ordination, my wedding, my first church. I mean, that's what I see when I look at that stuff. And I think about those are precious gifts from God. And I begin to think, too, about just some precious gifts. I want you to see this if you got your notes, okay? God gives many gifts, and they are all good. The thing about the Lord is that you need to know this, is that God is a gift giver God. He loves to give gifts. He really does. He gives the gift of the Holy Spirit, and He gives us the fruit of the Spirit in His life, and He's an amazing God. And from what we learn from James chapter 1 is that every good and perfect gift that you can acknowledge in your life is from God. You think about your children. You think about your marriage. You think about the house you live in, whatever. And you can just begin to list those things. And the Bible says that if it's a good gift, guess what? It's from God. If you're here today and you're breathing and there's air in your lungs, guess what? You have a good gift from God today. You have a good gift from God. God is a giver of good gifts. But here's the kicker. But do we recognize the gifts that God gives? Do we really recognize all the great gifts that the Lord gives us? You know, we've been talking about the church and does church matter. Some of you all do not understand that church is a gift. You have yet to comprehend that. You treat it more like a show or you come and watch, but you don't understand how awesome it is. That it's a community. It's not a show that you go to. It's a community of Christians that unite together to do great things for the Lord. It's so different than just something you go and watch. It's a community, and it is a gift today. And we have to understand that it's a gift. And my prayer as we wrap up this campaign is that we begin to view the church as a precious, precious gift, not just something we take for granted. But there are really two gifts today that God gives, major, major, major gifts that God gives. And we are so tempted to overlook these two gifts. We are tempted just to forget about how important they are, to forget about how awesome they are. So this morning I want us to look briefly at the two major gifts that God gives us. And hope and pray that we don't take them for granted. Gift number one is maybe the best gift ever, that God gives salvation. Is there an amen on that one today? That God still saves people today. God still loves people. God still wants them to give their hearts and their souls to Him in exchange for new life and new beginning. I want you to see this real quick. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Did you know all means all? There's not a single person here who has earned the right to be in good standing with God. All of you all have fallen short. Every one of you, including myself. There's not a single person here that can work their way, earn their way, buy their way, sell their way to heaven. It ain't going to happen. Nobody's that good. For all have sinned. Look at what the Bible says. Let it speak to you. As Rob said in his testimony, let it convict you today. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's everybody. That's everybody. All, say it with me, all means everybody. Now listen, the reality of that is that there is a place called hell. It's called hell. You don't want to talk about it. It's better not to talk about it, right? We don't want to offend anybody, hurt anybody's feelings, make them get all teared up. But the reality is this, is that when a person dies without a relationship with Jesus, they spend an eternity in a real place called hell. You may say, well, that doesn't sound like a loving God to me. Kenny, what are you talking about? God's shown all His love and given you ample opportunity time after time after time. God does not send a person to hell. The person sends themselves to hell. Never forget that. God's doing everything He can to get you out of hell. It's your choice today, whether you want God's grace or not. For all have sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. And if we were to stop right there and say, you know what, we're all sin, we all deserve hell, that's bad news. That scares us. That's scary. But check out the next verse I've listed for you, 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made the one who did not know sin, He has a name. Bruce said it earlier, His name is, say it with me, His name is Jesus. He made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. How are we saved today? Here's the gift. God, when He saves you, just doesn't say, well, you know, I know you did wrong. Let's just forgive that, the end. No, there's a payment that has to be made. And the payment for your salvation happened on the cross. When Jesus Christ went to the cross, He's perfect, He's spotless, never sinned, never failed. Never, ever. Never did any of that. But when He died, 2 Corinthians tells us that He became sin on the cross. So the punishment of God, the wrath of God, went on to Jesus for us. Every rotten, lousy, nasty, secret thing you've ever done, Jesus became that on the cross and suffered for you so you could be saved. And the exchange is this. The exchange is that if we believe that our sin has been atoned for or paid for or it's been punished, and He trades His perfect life for our crummy lives, He suffers and we're made right with God. Now that's not bad news for us. That's good news for us. And if we believe and receive Jesus, then we could be saved. You know, the Bible tells us in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Look what it says, the next verse I have listed for you. It says, for you are saved by grace through faith. Did you catch that? Your salvation is only through grace by your faith in God. That's it. Just by grace. That's it. Grace is what? Grace is something good that you get that you don't deserve. Grace, I'll say it again, is something good that you get that you don't deserve. You didn't do anything to earn it or work for it or to buy it. Grace is something that was given to you that's better than what you deserve and given to you. And look, you are saved by grace through faith. And what does the next verse say? This is what? Not of yourselves. It doesn't work that way. You don't get to buy your way to heaven or church your way to heaven or do all this stuff to get to heaven. Look what it says in verse 9. Not from what? Works. So that no one can boast. If you believe today that a ritual, that a church service, that good deeds, giving to the poor, all those are great. That's great. And that's good. Volunteerism is great. Serving is. I'm so thankful for all of the volunteers that come and help us set up on Sunday morning. Aren't you, church? Aren't you thankful for all of those volunteers that do that? But let me tell you this. According to the Bible, none of that saves you. It doesn't save you. For it is by grace, something you that's good that you get that you don't deserve, through faith, not from yourselves, your works, so no one can boast. See, salvation is a gift. It's a gift. Now, that's something we really have to just comprehend and get through our brains, that it's a gift. It's a gift. And you might say, well, Kenny, why does it have to be a gift? Why can't I work? Well, here's a question. How much do you work? How much good is good enough? First off, you're flawed spiritually. You have a disease running through you called sin. So you don't do the things you want to do like Paul said in Romans 7. You do bad stuff, dirty stuff, rotten stuff is what you do. You have a disease. It's called sin that carries punishment with it. But how good is good enough? You know, it's like trying to jump. In a jumping contest, you know, if I got Michael Jordan up on this stage and me and Michael Jordan had a jumping contest, who would win that contest? Kenny would, right? Nah, not so much, right? But now here's the question. Even though Michael Jordan could just scale me, jump over me, what if the goal was the moon? Who loses? Both of us. And here's the deal. Trying to work your way to God is like trying to climb up a violent river on your own, raging water rapids, upstream on your own. It ain't going to happen. That's why you need a gift of Jesus coming and Jesus rescuing you, of believing and receiving Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection for your life. For me, I was 7 years old when Christ came into my life, and I believe He came in and He never left me. I believe He's in my life today as a gift that He gave me, a free gift. Now, what's cool about the gifts of God is that we all know that's a good gift. Everybody say amen, that's a good gift. You grew up in church, you've heard that, buddy. You've heard that that's a good gift. God loves you, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only. You know that. You know that's a good gift. But here's the part, gift number two is the part that you forget about. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but they fail to recognize one of the greatest treasures that we have before we get to heaven. The gift number two that's so good, and this is what I want you to really see today, is that God gives church membership. He really does. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now you are the body of Christ, an individual, say that word with me, members of it. Now this whole series, we've tried to make a difference between country club membership, civic organization membership, and the church membership. Church membership is not just a role. It's not joining an organization. It's part of an organism is what the church is. Membership is a biblical word, like your hands are a member of your body, your ears are a member of your body, your eyes are a member of your body. Y'all with me on that? These are called members. You know, you could just look at your hands, your ears, your eyes, your mouth. That's called members of a body. And likewise, when we give our lives to Christ, we become members of His body. And we have a role and a function, and God has something to use us. We are incorporated into the overall body of Jesus. Now, I'm not trying to become a seminary professor on you today, and if I did, you would all be bored, and I would fail miserably at it, okay? But let me tell you this real quick. There is what we call the Big C Church and the Little C Church. Big C, or capital C Church, is what we call the Church Universal. That's all believers of all times from all ages. So that's everybody who's ever believed in Jesus Christ, those that had faith in the coming Messiah even before Jesus was born. That's everybody of all time that's been a follower of Jesus. They are part of the Church Universal. So today, the Big C Church, we have folks over in Africa that are brothers and sisters with us. We have folks in South America that are brothers and sisters with us. And we have folks in Russia and China and all over. That's called Big C Church, capital C Church. Now, Little C Church is a little bit different. But Little C Church is what you're in right now. It's the gathering of the saints in a local geographic area together. And they commit to one another. So, for example, when Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, he was talking to the group of believers, and they happen to live in what city? Ephesus. To the church at Thessalonica, what city did they live in? These were the Christians that gathered and worshiped God in the city of Thessalonica. See, the Little C Church is your church family. It's those that are with us right now. So we are in Little C Church right now. And the Lord wants to connect you to other Christians to be used. And it's wonderful how this happens. Because when we come together in the local church, we use our gifts. And we've talked the whole series about this. But a reason you need to be part of a local church is that when you give your life to Christ, you need to be around brothers and sisters. Because when you're connected to each other, the hand can do one thing, the ears can do another, the eyes can do something else, and we're connected together. And that's what church membership is all about. So one way we need to view church membership is not as a country club, but it's kind of like a nursery. Yeah, you heard me right. The nursery. And here's how it's like the nursery. You give your life to Jesus. The Lord comes into your life. You are born again, the Bible says. The first gift is received. Now tell me, what kind of parent, a new life rolls into this earth? Brand new baby boy, brand new baby girl. Beautiful. Beautiful. And that mama and that daddy loves that little baby. But what if that mama and daddy took that little baby and went and laid it in a field and said, "We love you, but tend to yourself"? Would that be a loving father or mother, or an awful father or mother? Sure, it would be awful. Likewise, God does the same with you. When you give your life to Jesus, He puts you in a nursery of other believers called Little C Church, where we grow and we disciple and we learn the gospel together and we follow Christ. That's why when we say that we don't need church to believe in God, you're absolutely right. Because you don't come to faith in Jesus because of church membership. But you do need church to be obedient to God. When my little girl's back there in the nursery and she makes a beeline to escape, it ain't good for mama and daddy on a Sunday morning. We send Miss Carol to go get her. Hey, man, no, we go too to go get her. Why? Because that's where they need to be at. And when we say we don't need the church, we're making a beeline outside of where God wants us. Are y'all following me on that? But Kenny, church members do this and church members do that, and there's hypocrisy in the church, and there's this in the church, and there's that in the church, and I don't like the way that guy's over there looking at me, and I don't like the way that person smells, and did you know where they were the other night? Blah, 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 blah. Stop for a second. Have you ever been in a nursery? Forgive me, you may never come back to church after I say this, but have you ever been to a nursery without crying and poop in it? Have you? Well, we can't send my kid to daycare. They cry over there. They mess diapers in that daycare. My kid can't go into that. Hey, your kid cries too. Your kid messes too. And you want to know something? You cry. You're a hypocrite. And you fail. And you mess up just like everybody else does. Old saying, you point one finger, there's three right back at you. That's why we have to stop viewing the church as a showcase for the saints and instead a hospital for the sinners. So the gift of church membership is that we come together, we unite, and if one of us hurts, we lift them up. We pray for them. We care for them. We must see it this way. So two great gifts of God, salvation and the church. These are wonderful, beautiful gifts. But with any gift, here's the kicker. We must receive, and we must treasure the gifts of God. We must receive and treasure the gifts of God. Paul says this about God's great gifts. He says, "Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift." He says, "Thank you to the Lord." If you today are in need of a personal relationship with Jesus, it's one thing to know that you need to be saved, but you got to connect it to your heart this morning. Some people miss heaven and go to hell by that much. By that much, they go to hell. They know it in their heads, but they never received it in their hearts. And by that much, they split hell wide open. Today, we must respond. Likewise, if you're a Christian in this room and you've not committed to the other Christians, it's time for you to do that. Because you are forsaking a gift. Because God wants His family together. When we eat supper, it's chaotic. It's crazy. Maybe we eat. Maybe we don't. We will vacuum one way or the other. We will. But here's the deal. I don't call Taryn in and say, "Let us eat. Your turn's over. Now bring in Gracie and let us eat. Your turn's over. Now bring in Hope. Let us eat. Your turn's over." We come together as a family. Two great gifts. And here's the deal. You've got to respond to both of them. If you're lost today, you've got to open up your heart, receive Jesus. If you know Christ, you got to respond and commit yourself to a local church. I hope and pray it's Life Community. But if it's not Life Community, go to another Bible-believing church. Just don't unplug. Because you're missing the point. You're missing what God has for you. There's one more gift in my treasure box that I didn't pull out this morning. And it's pretty cool. And it's pretty awesome. It's another book. And it's pretty cool. But this is a Bible. No surprise there. But this is a very special Bible to me. This was my grandfather's preaching Bible. And as I look in this Bible, and some of you that are close enough can see it, the pages are weathered. There are sermon notes inside of this. And by the way, I've never preached one of his sermons, okay? I've never done that. But they're in there. This is a wonderful gift. I open up and there are names of people that he led to the Lord in the Bible. Names of people in the back of it and their addresses that he led to the Lord. And my grandmother, when my pap passed away, graciously allowed me to have this treasure. It's irreplaceable. You touch this, I'll chop your hand off, okay? Just kidding. Love you. But it's precious. May mean nothing to you, but everything to me. And let me tell you one more thing, and I'm done. The reason this means so much is because it's a gift of love. Straight up love. It's a gift of love. And with all of God's gifts, His salvation, His grace, even His church, are gifts of love. It's love. And if you've never responded today to the gift of God's love, I pray that you will. Would you bow your head and close your eyes with me this morning? As our praise team comes to lead us in worship one more time before we close today, there may be somebody here that's never given their heart to Jesus. And today I encourage you and invite you to receive the greatest gift you'll ever receive. But it's not forced on you. You're not made to take it. You have to receive it. With heads bowed and eyes closed, it's simple as this. Acknowledging you're a sinner, believing that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you, and choosing to follow Him. The ABCs of Christ, of giving your life to Jesus. Maybe today you've never given your heart to Christ, and you're ready today to receive Jesus. It's a simple prayer. Remember, the hard part was done on the cross. It's just receiving it. And it's a beautiful prayer that goes like this. And pray it with me for the first time. If you've never prayed it before, and you're ready today for the first time to give your heart to Jesus, pray this prayer with me. Dear God, I am a sinner. I open my heart to you today, just as I am. Forgive me of my sin. I believe in Jesus. I believe He died and rose again. Come into my life and save me. Thank you for saving me. With head still bowed and eyes still closed, maybe today you prayed to receive Christ in your heart for the very first time. You received the best gift ever. I'm not going to call you out or point you out or embarrass you or come to you or anything like that. And out of respect for our neighbors, I ask you to keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed with everybody that's there. But if you prayed to receive Christ for the very first time today, would you slip your hand up right now and say, Kenny, I did that today for the very first time. Slip it high. Slip it high today. I prayed to receive Jesus in my life today for the very first time. Maybe today you've been through our 101 class. And man, I'll tell you, and you've just not united with the church yet for whatever reason. Hey, don't bypass that gift. Maybe today's the day you come and you make that decision to be part of this church family. Maybe today's the day you come and you say, Kenny, count me in on November 9th. I'll be there. If I got to take off work, if I got to reschedule, count me in. I'm there, buddy. I'll be there. I'll see you there. Maybe today God's tugging on your heart, and I invite you to come today. It'll be a joyful time, a great time. But those are two gifts that God doesn't want you to waste today. So, Father, we love you, and we thank you for Jesus. Come into our lives today and make us, Lord, active to you. And we pray, Lord, today for those that don't know you, that they'll be saved, that you'll give them the courage to come, the boldness to come. And Father, we love you very much. Move in our hearts, we pray in your name. Amen. Would you stand as we come today and as we sing? Would you stand?